Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. I ask you, God, to just grow us tonight. And I pray that that precious seed of the word of God would be watered this evening. And Lord, that you'd accompany your word and that it would go forth tonight with free course, and that you'd be uplifted and honored. And I pray, Lord, that that certainly the results would be evident, and Lord, that it would be there would be fruit that would abound. In Christ's name, amen. So we come into Philippians chapters 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul here, he's rejoicing. Philippians is a book of rejoicing, and he's rejoicing because these folks were doctrinally sound. And he's exhorting them to allow Jesus Christ to manifest himself or to show himself through these believers in this local church here in Philippi. And Jesus Christ is shown, folks, through his children's daily lives, their attitudes, their daily choices. And it starts there in verse number 1 in chapter 2, if there be therefore any consolation. Now, this is kind of a play on words because it says, if there be any. The truth is, all these things are in Christ. And all these things are in the believers in Jesus Christ. It's a fruit. It's of the inworking of the Spirit, if that makes sense. It's an outworking of the inworking of the Spirit. All right? And so this in context here, yeah, is a play on words. I just said that. All right. These things are definitely and positively things that ought to be in your life. Things that ought to be in a person's life who loves the Lord and submits to him. All right. And we'll see the first thing here is consolation in verse 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. Consolation has the sense of comfort, encouragement, even exhortation. All right? Exhortation is to encourage somebody to do the right thing. That's what exhortation is. Some preaching is exhortation, but I'll tell you, a brother or a sister that gives a word of exhortation is priceless. Okay? And as I want to kind of illustrate here in a minute, but here's the thing. The Lord desires us to have these traits. Acts 4 and verse 36 talks about Barnabas. Barnabas was the son of what? Consolation. That's the word here. All right? He was the son of consolation. The whole way through the book of Acts, Barnabas was an encourager, an exhorter to the brethren, and to make strides in the lives of those that walk with Christ. That's what he was. Hey, folks, you don't just come to church to do that. You can do that in the workplace. You say, well, there's no Christians in the workplace. Well, then you encourage somebody to come to Christ. You can encourage somebody simply by being that person that is full of God, full of joy, in life, and having that testimony and that character to do what you say you're going to do. To be polite, to be kind, to be considerate. Listen, those are fruit of the Spirit, all right, those things. And they go a long way. Now, Barnabas was drawn to the down and outers. And God used him mightily to encourage and to keep them going. Do you remember Paul at the beginning of his ministry? Do you remember when Paul first got saved? Who came alongside him? Barnabas. Yes, sir. Barnabas came along. Oh, it's okay. Keep them going, you know. And Barnabas, listen, if it hadn't been for Barnabas, perhaps you wouldn't have had the Apostle Paul. Listen, why? Because the church works like that. Listen, we need each other in here. All right? And I know there's other people, other Christians and other denominations, whatever. Encourage them too. We're going to be all in the same body, folks. We're all in the same body. We might believe a little different here on earth, but it's all going to change someday when we're like him. All right? And we'll find out. Maybe we don't have everything right. Okay? Maybe they don't either, but nonetheless, we're in the same team. Okay, and so I remember I first trusted the Lord, And boy, I had some struggles, for sure. I was trying to find godly friends. It was awfully lonely that first couple years, I'll tell you that. But I had struggles with music. I had struggles with entertainment. The world can draw a person right in, okay, and draw a person down. It can depress you, no doubt. I was in a bad dating relationship at the time, okay? I was not in the Lord's will. I was about 24 years old, all right? And a man that I respected in his early 30s took an opportunity to encourage me. He talked of the growth that he saw in my life. Him and I'd get together once in a while, and we'd just talk about the Lord and talk about the Word of God and what God was doing and everything. And I was excited about the Lord. But still, you can be excited about the Lord and still not have quite the right direction that you need. You know what I'm saying? And anyway, he talked about how he saw growth in my life and the potential, but you know, to be used of God and just really, just a real shot in the arm. Okay, I think we met like on a Tuesday afternoon or something. And but then he said this. He says, you know, that relationship that you're in, he said, listen, Ben, he started shaking his head. He says, it's going to drag you down, buddy. And really didn't want to hear what he had to say, all right? And pretty much he said, listen, he said, I love you in the Lord. And if you continue down that road, he said, in that relationship, he says, I'm just afraid. And he just shook his head. And I won't forget his look on his face. He goes, he just says, Ben, he just shook his head. He says, Ben, I'm just afraid you're going to miss out on God's best. That's what he told me. He was right. I took his advice. And he was right. He had the right reasons why through the scripture. Young people, I want to tell you something. Okay, you need God's best. Not second best. All right? You need God's best. And that matters. Now, where I'd be today, if I didn't take this man's advice, if there wasn't somebody willing, and he stuck out his neck a little. Come on now. He's telling me something that's huge in my life. I respect that. Because I could have been all mad, and folks do. They get mad. That's how it goes sometimes. He took a chance on me. And God used it mightily. Why? Because he's like a Barnabas. Listen, God wants to use you, friend, as a Barnabas. Yes, he does. And there's no, hey, listen, the potential in this room, you say, oh, well, I couldn't do that. I'm not around. No, no, no. We all got potential to be used as Barnabas. Yeah, even these young people back here. I mean, right now, guys. Right now. All right? Consolation. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. You know, again, you know, I think of the book of Joshua. God told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. Sometimes we do have to go out on a limb to encourage. Sometimes it's a lost person. And sometimes you just want to praise the Lord for a beautiful day, or you want to just say something for the Lord just in your normal conversation. And it takes courage. Okay? Because listen, if you are loving God and saying something in the Lord's name and you're filled with Him, you're hosting Him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're actually, God is in your life and He is intervening in the situation in that workplace where you are. He is present, Christian, because you're present. All right? And as you have somebody over for dinner, listen, you always have God in you. He abides in you. You're hosting Him. I'll tell you, there's something powerful about the presence of one who hosts the living God. One who is right with God, one who cares about Him. One who has God in her daily life just thinks about Him. You know. And it matters. I was thinking about this guy down in Williamsport. He's an older man. He was his wife had died years ago. And, he lived, I don't know how many more years. Maybe 10 or 15 more years. And you know, he did his daily thing. Went to the post office, did this, did that. But he was always telling people of Jesus. He was always encouraging the brethren. Man, when that guy died, they had only standing room out. The church was packed. because Mr. So-and-so died. And I'm going to say it, and I mean no disrespect. It was just some old guy that died, you know. And the whole church is packed because of people that aren't even saved coming to the thing because everybody knew him. It's a testimony. Man, they heard the gospel. They heard Pastor Long down there preach the word of God, get up and wield the sword of the Spirit in the midst of that to give the gospel to all this crowd because of this man's life. Your life's not in vain, friend. And if you're out of the will of God, get back in it. Amen. Repent and get back in it. Because it matters today. Some of you young men, listen, we've got some, like Pastor said, the youth group. What a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessing with these kids. The potential with these kids. We had a couple of preachers up here. We got another fellow. We're going to have another youth time. I believe we got another preacher that's going to stand up here and proclaim God's truth. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Right? It'd be instant in season, out of season. That means whether they want to hear it or not. You got to preach the old book. All right?
Amen.
That's what it is. And that's what we need. Some young men have the fire of God in their lives and say, you know what? I'm just going to preach this old book whether it kills me or not. I'm just going to do it. You know, how about you? Are you willing to be a Barnabas? A consoler? An encourager? You see, it goes like this, priority-wise. Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ, others, and you. Sometimes we get in the Slough Despond. How many know what I'm talking about? Pilgrim's Progress. Yes! The Slough Despond. Man, we'll get in that thing. And it's, and I guess the way I read the book, the way I understand it, it's a big mud pit. And Pilgrim gets in this thing, and he starts sinking up to his knees, and he can't get out. It's like quicksand. He can't get out. He's, oh, man, what am I going to do? You know? And he's in the Slough Despond, and Despond means this. I looked it up in the dictionary. I forget what it means right off the top. It means cast down, to be depressed, dejected of mind. We get in a slough despond. It's like, oh boy. And we're crippled from encouraging others. We're crippled by it. And we so need to get out of that. And I'll tell you what, I'm subject to that daily, especially come around Thursday. I'm about exhausted. All right. You do a couple big trees. Kyler knows what I'm talking about. You do a couple big trees about Thursday, you get out of bed and you're like, you're not as chipper as you were Monday, that's for sure. All right? And so you kind of got one of your feet down, maybe up to your knee in the slough despond, and you're struggling, okay? And again, what do we need? We need to come to the Word of God and recognize, wait a minute, this body's a slave. and it's slave for Christ. You know, just because we don't feel that great, I know it shouldn't affect our attitude, and I get it, it does. We need our sleep and things, and we need to take care of ourselves. But need to be able to console the brethren and others and focus on that. It's a ministry. You say, well, I'm not in a ministry. Yeah, you are. If you're a Christian, you're in a ministry. Yep. I can't stand it. Kyler, you're in a ministry, man. Yes, sir. You're in a ministry. You say, why'd you point him out? I don't know. But he's in the ministry just like the rest of you. Jason, Ron, we are in the ministry because we know Christ as Savior. All right? But number two, comfort of love. Comfort of love. There's comfort in love. Amen? All right? To strengthen. Simply mean to strengthen, to cheer, to console. That sacrificial love, all right, of love. Christ died on the cross. Comfort, you know, no greater love, how's that go?
No greater love hath no man than this.
Yes, no greater love hath no man than this. Thank you, Pastor. Than a man lay down his life. Yeah. For his friend. Yep, that's right. You know, it's funny. Oftentimes, some of my children, I say, hey, no, I want you to go outside, and it's dark out, you know. I'll say, well, I want you to go outside and throw this in the dumpster. I say, oh, Daddy, it's dark out there. I say, all right, well, I'll do it. And next thing you know, you got little feet behind you. Well, I'll go then. They're going behind me. Why? It's okay if I'm around. All right? Why? Comfort of love. I trust Daddy. All right? Well, I know we can turn that right around and say, well, we can trust God and we can go through this. But listen, sometimes we need extra help, don't we? We do. That's why God has a body. Yes, we need the Lord, but we need each other. Yes, sir. You know, how many times I've been in a church service, whether it's here, whether it's in other churches, and you will hear prayer requests given of people of the most private and personal circumstances in their lives. And I've been in some situations where I'll say, did I hear that person right? they're talking about that in front of everybody? Yeah, they are. Why? Because it's family. That's why. That's comfort of love. All right? You're not going to hear that in the workplace. No. I hear it in a family, around a dinner table, maybe. You know? Comfort of love in Christ. Why? Because there's no fear in love. Right? There's trust. There's confidence. I remember going away to a Christian camp to preach for a week. And we had that old tan Suburban. And it was in bad shape. It really was. And I thought, well, it was overdue of inspection. And I took that thing to the guy that was close to the camp that we were at. And the guy looked at it and said, oh, listen, he said, you're going to get this inspected. He said, it's going to be $2,500 to $3,000 worth of work you're going to need. Do you remember that? And I just didn't really know trust that fella, if you know what I'm saying. I just didn't. I'm just going to tell you. I was like, man, I don't know. I was like, okay. And I thought, well, I said, I'll tell you what. We're just going to wait on that. So guess who I called? Dean Smith. Yeah, I did. I called Dean Smith. He says, well, I said, Dean, I said, is it possible that it would take that much to do that? Well, he says, don't even listen to that guy. He said, you bring it down here and you get it back. So I brought it down there. Okay. Now, listen, if Dean Smith says it's going to take $2,500 or $3,000 to fix that thing, I'm okay with that. Why? Because I know it's so. Why? Comfort of love. Listen, he cares. When you know somebody cares about you, it doesn't make any difference. It's like, oh, yeah, well, then that's what it is. We've got to make some decisions then. Maybe we've got to get rid of it. What do we ever got to do? All right? Now, Dean found out what it was, and he said, well, it doesn't need that air ride on there. He says, we're gonna disconnect that. Man, a man just rearranged everything under there, and the next thing, he says, listen, that part is $1,500. I can get it for $50, but it ain't going to work like the old one. I said, I don't care. And it didn't work like the old one, okay? But the health got around for another 2 years in that car. You see? Well, I'm saying, comfort of love. 1 John 4 and verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth, he that has fear, is not made perfect in love. You know. Yes, sir. 1 John 3 and verse 15, we already quoted that. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, when I got something heavy in my mind, something heartbreaking, heart-wrenching to deal with, yes, I want to take it to the Lord. But you know, there's still those that I want to talk to about it. I want to talk to somebody about it. And you know, I want to talk to somebody who fears the Lord. I don't want to go to somebody who doesn't know God about that. All right? If you do, you know, and maybe again you have a family member or something you may talk to. But I want to talk to somebody who fears the Lord, number one. Number two, I want to talk to somebody I know that cares about my well-being and wants my success. That's what I want. I think any of us would. Okay. We want to know, number three, I want to know if somebody who's going to understand about what I'm dealing with. That's what I'm going to want. You know, it says Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. In 1 Corinthians 13, I'm not quoting it verbatim, okay? I'm just telling you basic ideas here. Love's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't brag. It doesn't gloat. It isn't easily offended. It rejoices in the truth, not in the failures of others, folks. But it desires the well-being and success of others. You want to love somebody? Desire their success for them in their life. That's what it is. You want to be a help and a stepping stone for somebody else to for their well-being, for their success. You know. When people look at you as a person, personally, do they look at you as a person who genuinely cares about others and wants their success, their good? And you got to ask yourself this question. As you read this word of God, it's a mirror, looks right back at us. Am I the type of person that cares about others like that? Between you and the Lord. You know. That's what we're talking about here, a comfort of love. Number three. Verse 1 again, the fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost. What is that? Communion's a partnership. It's like a marriage. Okay? Jennifer's my life partner. All right? But do you know who was my life partner before Jennifer? The Spirit of God. Jesus Christ. You see, this communion, or this fellowship of the Spirit, is a participation in the personality and the influences of the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know that the Holy Spirit of God has a personality? He's a person. All right? You see, your salvation is a partnership with Christ. Colossians 1 verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. That's that key we're talking about this morning. Faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're buried with him in baptism. That's an identification. That's a partnership. 2 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You see, Christ is in us, but we are in Christ. It's a partnership, and he is the leader, the fellow. He is the senior partner, all right? The Spirit of God has feelings. Did you know that? He can be grieved. All right? And there's other things he can be, but I can't think of them right now. But he has feelings. He has views. Certainly he has views. He has likes. He has dislikes. He has a will. Why? Because he is a person. Now, I'm going to ask a question. What is the Holy Spirit to you? Hey, young people, what's the Holy Spirit to you? Is he just a force? Or just an influence that shows himself sometimes in your life? Listen, folks, he is God. He is your life partner, and to him you are to lovingly and confidently yield him control. Yield him control of your life, your lips, your thoughts, your actions, your reactions. To cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit is to cultivate a relationship with God, with his word, with his son Jesus Christ. And the fruit of that relationship will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. Well, why will that be the fruit? Here's why. Because he's in control. What happens when we're in control? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, jealousy, envy, strife, debate. Not when he's in control. I remember pulling up to a job one time. It was there in Spring Mills. We pulled up to the job. It was Kyler and I, and I think Johnny was working for us. I think either Kyler or Johnny was up the tree. And it was a pine tree. It looked like a stem with a rat's nest on top of it. You know what I mean? I mean, it was a mess. Had a couple live branches on it. And anyway, they're up the tree, and I think Kyler, they were wailing stuff through the chipper, and the tree's coming down, and this car pulls up, stops real fast, slams on the brakes, gets out, and this woman comes out. She says, "Sir, I just have a question for you." I said, "What's that, ma'am?" She says, "Why are you cutting down a live tree?" I said, "Ma'am, that tree looks awful bad." She says, "That is a live tree, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself." I think it was in the Slough of Despond. It was about a Thursday, and I had about that attitude. You know what I'm talking about? And it stopped me dead in my tracks, and something welled up inside me and went from here clean up to my chest. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, lady, I don't have time for this. You know, and that's what I'm thinking. And I really wanted to give it to her. I calmed down. I said, "Ma'am," I said, "do you own this property?" She goes, "No." I said, "Well, then, I'll tell you what." I said, "We were contracted to cut that tree down. You'll have to take that up with the owner. But this is what we're doing today." And I said, please contact the owner and discuss that with them. I'm just the guy doing the job here today, and I hope you have a nice day." And I put my ears over my heart out, and I walked down and went away. But listen, do you know what I wanted to tell that woman? Listen.
No, tell us.
Yeah. Listen. But here's the thing. There was somebody inside me that had a will not to hammer that lady. Do you know what I mean? And just say whatever I wanted and let her rip. No. Why? Because there is a person in me that resides in me that says, no. Don't do that. You want to talk about protection? You want to talk about guidance? You want to talk about love? Compassion? And here's the thing. As much as he had compassion on my soul for not making a fool out of myself at this point, he had compassion on her. Do you know why? Because perhaps I still might be able to tell her about the Lord someday and not didn't ruin my testimony. Why? My testimony is not really mine. It's his. Right? Didn't he buy that on a cross? Yeah, he did. He bought that. It's his. He purchased it with his own blood. We do have a firm foundation, don't we? Yes. No. There are times that we face in our lives, as I said this morning, we don't know which way to go. It's a wall. And there are times that we don't want to yield to his control, even though we know what's right. Hey, folks, we know what's right, a lot of us. Okay? A lot of us know the Lord in here. We know what's right, but doing it's another thing. We know what's a wrong thought or a right thought, but we got to choose to think the right thought. It's a choice to yield, control, you know. Even if we feel uncomfortable, or even if we feel angry, even if we feel that way, no, for the time being. Because we do sometimes. And we need to rest. We need to know the scripture. Well, Isaiah 26:3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God, who stayed on thee." No, that word stayed means leaning on, resting in him, or under his control. That's what it is. I'm going to close this illustration tonight. In 1859, there was a tightrope walker from France by the name of Blondin. How many heard of Blondin? Blondin entered into a partnership with Harry Colcord. Colcord was his clerk or his agent, okay? He was his financial backer. Blondin was the stuntman. In hopes of making a fortune, Blondin stretched a rope 1,100 feet out across Niagara Falls, that big gorge up there. Yes, sir. And back in the day, I don't know if they had dynamic rope or static rope, all right, you know, but this was back in the day when ropes would stretch across and there was no what to say here. I have it written down here so I wouldn't mess this up. Yeah. He stretched it 1,100 feet across the Niagara River, the gorge. It was 190 feet above the river, okay? The rope sagged 20 feet in the middle. That's what I was after. 20 feet in the middle. Out in the middle of that gorge. Now, the rapids were 40-some miles an hour underneath, and the wind was always blowing, always stirring, all right? And on June 30th, 1959, he made his first walk. He went about a quarter of the way out, and he stopped. Blondin did that, and he yawned. Oh, and he stretched. Then he laid down on the rope. Yes, sir. Bouncing this 38-foot pole across his chest. Okay, make a long story short, after crossing it a number of times, he decided one time he'd push a wheelbarrow out there. Put a wheelbarrow out on that thing. The next time he carried a stack of blankets and act like he was going to sleep. Another time he took a stove out there, literally a stove, put wood in it, fired it up, and made an omelet out there on this thing as he balanced. Folks, you go look this up. This guy did this, okay? There's pictures of this guy, all right? So he's a crazy man. Listen, he was good at what he did, and he wasn't worried about her. That man was good at walking rope. He wasn't biting his fingernails before he went out there. He just got to just walk right out there, all right? Now, Blondin was good at this thing, and he wanted to make money. And guys, he had an idea. He thought, I'm going to carry someone else out in that rope, and we'll see how many people will come and see how much money we can make. And he asked for volunteers. He got none. No volunteers. And right in the middle of that press meeting, when he asked for volunteers with all the cameras and all the microphones in his face, nobody would volunteer. He turned around and he asked his old partner, Harry Colcord, if he'd do it. And the man was speechless. Okay. And he never said anything. He never said a word, but Blondin volunteered him. Well, they set a date. And Blondin was to carry Harry Colcord across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Now, there's a meeting. Yeah, Blondin announced it cheerfully, but Colcord, he was in. On August 17th, 1959, just before the event, Blondin realized that Harry was in a state of terror. I don't know how many of you, I'll tell you what, we go up some pretty tall trees, and you first start. I remember first starting. I mean, I'm only up 20 feet, and I got spikes on, and I feel my knees knocking together. I'm serious. You think, oh, that's not that far, and you can even look. Like, that guy's not even that high. No, your knees are shaking. I couldn't imagine what this guy's feeling. Okay, this guy is in a state of shock already, and he's staring at the gorge. All right, the water is roaring, 42 miles an hour, 100,000 people to vent. Harry Colcord's in a daze. Blondin led this man to the brink of this thing and the rope. He mounted Blondin's back. He put his arms tightly around. He got on the man's back. You see, I mean, can you see me getting Cracker to walk across the gorge here, and I'm on his back. Anyway, the guy was choking him. He said, listen, man, you're going to have to let up. Okay? And so, anyway, they get him out there and they start. All right? And they get out there so far, so good. But you know that 20-foot drop? Yeah. They came to the middle of that thing. All right? And Harry said, listen, where am I at here? As those two men got to the middle of that rope, 20-foot dip, it was the middle span, Blondin yelled to Harry over the roar of the water and the wind. And he said this. He said, Harry, you are no longer Harry Colcord. He said, you are Blondin, mind, body, soul. If I sway, you sway. He said, do not attempt to do any balancing yourself. That's what the instructions. I don't know why they wouldn't have talked about this before they got out there, but they didn't. Kyler and I would have talked about this. Kyler would be asking me, Benny, are you sure you want to do this? Yep. So anyway, Harry just wasn't uncomfortable here. He was scared to death, all right? Now, Harry did just what Blondin told him to do, and they made it across. But here's the point, folks. Here's the point tonight, okay? Harry didn't feel good about the circumstance. He wasn't just uncomfortable. He was scared to death. This was not a time for Harry to put his foot down and give Blondin a piece of his mind. You know what I'm saying? No, it wasn't. Not at all. No, the only thing Harry could do was be one with Blondin. He's going to make it out of this thing. That's all he could do. Sway when he swayed. Do what he did. Yield to Blondin's every lead and control. And also be sensitive enough to sense Blondin's lead and control in that situation. And folks, we're talking about your fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God. That's what it is. It's a partnership. It's a communion. He's the senior partner. When he sways, you sway. He says move, you move. There's that, it's that sensitive. And we need to be that sensitive. And I stand here tonight and feel like the biggest hypocrite in the world. I forget him throughout the day. Do you? Listen, no. I asked you tonight, what is the Holy Spirit to you? Is he your life partner or just a kind of a force every once in a while that you see in your life or an influence every once in a while? Or maybe you're here tonight, you say, boy, I don't even know. I'm not sure I even know about the Holy Spirit. I don't know about whether or not I truly belong to Jesus Christ. What is it? What is it to you? You know, it says here at the very end of verse 1, it says, if any bows and mercies. You see, love, affection, pity, forgiveness, kindness, understanding, meekness, long-suffering. Listen, bows and mercies are full of second chances. They fall under this category. And they're a fruit of that abiding relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Christ. What is God speaking to you about tonight? How are you handling your family situations? Workplace situations? Are you yielding to Him? Are you sensitive to Him? What does God want from you tonight? Let's go ahead and stand for prayer tonight. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and I'm going to have Pastor come and go ahead and close the service. Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can grow from your word, and I pray that that you'd shed light in each one of our hearts, that we would be so that we could have confidence in what you would have us to do and to go ahead and even obey you, even when we don't feel like it or it's a difficult circumstance, that we might not put our foot down and do it our way, but we'd commit to your leadership and control. In Jesus' name, amen.